Good morning. When we were planning this this Sunday, it's what we call a free Sunday. It means that I got free rein to speak on whatever I felt the Lord was saying. And it never fails to amaze me the detail that Father puts in to his planning. Because I thought, well, what am I going to talk about on this Sunday? And he already knew, which is reassuring and encouraging. But his plans, as you will hear, never will fail to amaze me. Because today is the right time to share some family news. But I want to do it in the context of kingdom, not information. And just hold to Dave's word there. Because the challenge to our heart is, oh, that's a nice word. And then we push it to one side because we can't quite believe God might do that. No, I believe that's God's heart for us. And I want that wind to blow through, even this morning, through what I want to share and what I'm going to share. And I don't want it to be information this morning, because what I want to share is bigger, because it's about God's purposes, both for us individually and for us as a church. So I'm going to ask a dangerous thing now. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And as I always say at this point, if you hear my voice fading, open them straight away, okay? Because the next stage is snoring, and we don't want that, do we? So, all right, I want you to think back to this time last year. And what was different in your life then compared to today? Because I can guarantee you there will be something different. You know, throughout our life, throughout our journey, there are continual changes. Some changes we hardly recognize, as their impact and their size are small. Other changes, other transitions are much larger, much bigger, and they have a greater sense of stepping in to a new season. So you can open your eyes now. But we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised about change, and we shouldn't be surprised about seasons. Because we serve a God of seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. We see it in creation, don't we? Now, I'm no scientist, but I can vaguely remember being at school. And being at school, they told me that all the planets, including Earth, revolves around the sun. And as that happens, as the Earth orbits the sun, the seasons change as the Earth moves. But we come to a God who is not just a creator of the planets and the universe, but he's the creator of us. His artistic hand is at work in us. And the similarity of the planets, our Earth, going round the sun, is no different to our lives. Our lives should revolve round the sun being Jesus. And just like the seasons, we exit and we enter many different seasons in our lives. I'm sure we can all testify to that. But the one thing that remains with the sun physically and the sun Jesus is that they never move and they never change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's important that we keep him central and revolve around him. And just like the seasons, physically and spiritually, there are differences. In some seasons, things grow. In other seasons, some things die off. Some things aren't what they were in the season before. In some seasons, the days are longer. In others, it's the night. Sometimes our days are like mountaintop experiences with God. They seem to last a long time. It seems like nothing will ever change, and how wonderful that is. But then there are seasons when the night just doesn't ever seem to end. There are seasons we didn't want to go through. I guess we can all relate to those. But you know, even in those seasons, we learned some things. Things we wouldn't have learned if we hadn't have gone through them. As Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season. Every aspect of our lives is as for a season. And there is a purpose for those seasons. I didn't come up with this, but there is a reason for the season. So if you want to get a t-shirt, that's the one to get. There is a purpose for the process. There are seasons we've gone through that we don't know why we had to go through them. But listen, God doesn't cause bad seasons. God doesn't make bad seasons. But what he will do is, he'll use that season for his good and his purpose. So just because maybe we are, or we've been going through some stuff, or have gone through a rough season, it doesn't mean that God is finished with us. Because, as Philippians says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. See, it's not just any old work that God is doing in us. It's a good work. It's a fruitful work. It's a work that he can use to glorify and extend his kingdom. So what sort of season are you in at this time? Because God is a God of seasons. But you know, he doesn't measure seasons by clocks or calendars. He does it through bringing truth and revelation. Truth and revelation that propels us into new and different seasons. So why the seasons? Why the changes? Well, God knows you better than you know yourself, as he knows me better than I know myself. He knows that we are creatures of habit. And if change didn't occur, we would become complacent in one place. And I know I've said that before. No, I wouldn't. But I would. I would, because that's how sometimes I am. But when there's a season change, he also may speak to you different. See, you might have gone through a season when your impact that God had on you was like the road to Damascus. It was so crystal clear as a blinding light of what I should be doing in this new season, that it was obvious. It was a dead ringer. But you know, he might bring you into a new season where he doesn't use that. He uses the whisper. And then we're saying, but God, I'm not hearing you. I'm not knowing where I should be in this new season. Because you feel, we all know when a season is changing, because things begin to loosen. And that can make us vulnerable. But what we've got to learn to do is listen to how Father wants to speak to us in a new season. Because he won't speak the same way twice. Why is that? Is he trying to catch us out? No. Is he looking to teach us a pattern? No. He's about relationship. He doesn't want you to become reliant on a pattern or one way of doing things. He wants a relationship that's as fulfilling, that can be challenging, but actually can be so rewarding in what he wants to do. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Asking you to think back to this time last year. I know there's something different in your life, because there is in my life, to what was 12 months ago. And you know, we look around at the world we live, and we see that things are different today than they were last week. But 10 years ago, how different is this world to 10 years ago? Or even yesterday? But in all those changes, God will use his purposes to outwork his purposes. So bearing this in mind, I want to share some season changes within the family, as in Bougie Community Church, but also to challenge us in a season change that could well happen and open for us as a nation. So, to start with the family. This week, on behalf of the elders, I sent a letter out to the wider leaders. And part of that letter was to apologise in having to send a letter, because we like to do things in relational, face-to-face. But because we've got guest speakers at both our wider leaders, we weren't able to do that. And we wanted to honour the guys that are coming to input into us on those wider leaders. But also, we didn't want to add this on as a last 5-minute thing. And I'm going to read you that letter, because I think that's important. Because the one thing that we want is consistency with communication. If there's one area the enemy gets in, it's communication. So actually, can you have a look round? And if you're not here, can you recognise you're not here? No, that's all I'm going to do. There are a lot away today. It's still a holiday. So just bear in mind that what I'm sharing, some of you already know, but for those that may not know who aren't here, some of this will be in the newsletter next week. So you may be able to pre-see it, but what we want is continuity from what I'm sharing. So, are you ready? I shall begin. While on sabbatical in 2014, Eric and Philippa were seeking God about where they were to be in the future. During this time, God spoke to them about returning to Rugeley Community Church for a season. Although at the time there was no sense of why this was or for how long, there was only the sense that the return was not forever. And I'm going to go off of peace, as it were, now from the letter. They didn't know what that was for, but at that time we didn't know we'd be in a building like we are today. And Eric's skill set particularly has been such a great asset for that. We wouldn't be here. But that's the big thing, is actually God wants us here. We would be here, but it probably wouldn't be as done as well as how we have been in here. Does that make sense? Yeah, because ultimately it's God that does all things anyway. So I'm going back to letter. In recent months, there's been a growing sense for Eric and Philippa that the time for Eric to lay down his eldership was approaching. Also that this should involve a stepping back from Rugeley Community Church, so that the laying down of past roles was clear and complete. At present, Eric and Philippa do not know whether this separation is for a few months or should be permanent. Recently, they have had a number of prophetic words reminding them of God's calling on their lives, and it does seem to them that this might need to be pursued in a different church setting. In responding to what God is saying, Eric and Philippa have in mind, one, the need to take clear steps of obedience by responding to what they do know and stepping out in faith rather than waiting until it is convenient or every detail is clear. And secondly, a desire to hand on well and not do anything that would undermine the church family or the progress we are making in God's vision for the church. There's always a reason for the season, and seasons come and seasons go. Eric shared what he and Philippa had been sensing from God with Richard in March, and he sensed, that's me, this was of God and that the timing was right. Richard wasn't totally surprised because, as Eric and Philippa have already stated on their return from sabbatical, that their returning was for a season. Eric and Philippa also shared their thoughts with Jeremy Simpkins in March, who also confirmed his sense that this was God. Some practicalities. Richard agrees with Eric and Philippa that this is important for there to be a clean break. And I do believe that, because you can't, it's dangerous to fudge the edges, because I say, we have an enemy who will use every good thing and try and turn for his purpose. Both for their sakes and for a clear understanding for the church that they are no longer in the roles they have been. It is proposed that this happens at the end of August, but that doesn't mean relationships and friendships need to end. They're not going to Mars. Well, not yet, unless God says. But until they do, if that's where they're called, they are still friends. And it doesn't mean the relationship has to end. As at this stage, Eric and Philippa do not know where pursuing this journey will take them, and they have also have the ongoing care for Eric's dad. Therefore, the plan from September is for them to attend another local Christ Central church until God directs otherwise. This gives them both the support and the space needed in seeking God for further steps. So make it quite clear. They're not going to leave because there's something wrong. They need the space so that, A, actually, I think they still need restoration from all that they've suffered in this last year. They're still grieving for what happened with Richard, for those things that you have been through. But also, they just need space to hear what God is saying. So they're not going because there's anything, oh, that's it. We want to release them to find that space, to find that next season, to walk into that new season. Okay. Elders and wives. Since sharing both at elders' meetings and elders and wives, we began to go through identifying the various areas that Eric and Philippa have input. The main priority for Eric between now and September is the induction of the center coordinators and handover of relevant responsibilities. Now, some of those responsibilities will be picked up by Kevin and Lisa. And again, you just see God's timing in bringing things. See, when he brings something in, it's because he's usually going to release something out, because there's a flow to his plans and purposes, which is bigger than we sometimes see at the time of when we're planning. And I'm thankful that we serve a big, big God. However, just as when Eric and Philippa went on sabbatical, we all now have an opportunity to step up, to be open to what God wants to use and do with us. Now, a few areas we might have to outsource because we don't have that skill set that perhaps Eric or Philippa has. That's our new season. And just to say this, in regards to Happy Tots, both Andy and I feel that this is coming to a natural end with Philippa stepping back. And we believe there will be an opportunity in the future for a new work to be born in regards of a midweek babies and toddlers ministry. So when God does these things, nothing is forever. You know, when we were getting people to sign up to something, to serve, we try and say now, you know, you don't have to do that until Jesus returns. Because that's the worry. People think, I've got this for life. You know, we've always got to stay sensitive to the wind of the Holy Spirit as to what is for now, what we need to let go of, and actually what we've got to be open for God to start a new work in. And that's what we feel with Happy Tots. It's not that all that's gone out with the bathwater. No, it just feels that that season has come to an end, and actually God's going to birth something new. So we're building upon that, not chucking it out and starting again, because there has been relationships built there. And this is where God never fails to amaze us, and particularly amaze me. You know, when we talk about seasons, God isn't in heaven scratching his head about the next season. He knows eternity. His planning and his preparation just blow me away. Because 18 months to 2 years ago, we discussed as elders expanding this team. The vision is that we have 5 elders. That's the vision I believe that we should be having. Because I believe we're going to be a church that requires 5 elders. Are we in that season yet? No. But we work towards that season. And when we were discussing that, there were names that came to mind as we discussed this. One being Dave Barnsley. Sometime later, I put this to Dave, asking him and Wendy to pray this through about that step up into eldership. And this is where God was remarkable. As Eric and Philippa were sharing their hearts in March, Dave came back to me feeling it was right to start that process of stepping up into eldership. And you know, when we're in transition, we become a bit vulnerable. Richard becomes a little bit vulnerable. Because we don't quite know what's happening. But you know, when God does something like you just think, oh, okay. God's got his hand upon the pulse. This is his church. He knows what he is doing. Therefore, it's been a bit hit and miss with holidays and things there. But therefore, since March, Dave and Wendy have begun meeting with elders and wives. But this is important. This is what I want to make quite clear. Dave is not replacing Eric. Okay? Dave's not going to grow a beard. Yep. I don't know how to make this clear. He is not replacing it. If Eric and Philippa had been staying, Dave and Wendy would have still been joining the team. Okay? And that's important. Of all the things Eric does, the relationship with the council and centre staff are the most important to have their continuity. And again, this is where I'm so thankful to God. Because Dave has initially agreed that he will pick both of these up so that we have that continuity. Now, there are numerous other things that Eric has carried that we'll have to look at dealing with in the coming weeks and few months that we have. And I guess I just want to say one more thing. If you have any questions or concerns about this, then please feel free to talk to us as elders. But actually, in the sadness of season changes, there's actually an excitement as well, both for Eric and Philippa in seeing where God is going to take them, but also for us as a church family as well. So that's quite a bit to take in. Now, some of this will be in the newsletter next week. But I just want to honour these guys for being open to where God wants to use them. They've not settled for the status quo. You know, they could have quite happily have just stayed. But they knew when they came back that was for a season. So I'd like us all to stand. And I'd like the worship guys. I haven't finished, by the way. I'd like us all to stand. We're not going to go for tea and coffee when you sit down again, I'm afraid. Not quite. Now, I wondered what to do at this stage. And I thought, yes, the right thing would be to do to have Eric and Philip out here. We have a 5-minute prayer. Then they sit down. And then I carry on. And then this morning, I felt, no, we're not going to do that. Because I wouldn't be right for them. And we're not in a tick box. So here's a challenge. Do you know how many hours you've given to this church, Eric and Philippa? Yeah. I would put it in thousands. So my challenge is to you to give 1 hour up tonight compared to their thousands. And come and support them, because we're going to pray for them at the prayer meeting tonight. So can you give an hour for their thousands? Because that's what family is, standing with them and wanting to bless them and send them. Now we will honour them on another Sunday with some other people that we need to honour. But we're going to do that in weeks to come. But I want you to close your eyes again, because I've been talking about seasons. And just as Eric and Philippa have been recognising they're in a season change, I want to challenge you. Do you know the season you're in at this time? Do you recognise the season you're in at this time? Is a season change coming for you? And that doesn't necessarily mean we've all got to move away. It just means being open to what Father wants to say to us in this new season. And in being open to what he wants to say, recognizing that he might do it in a way that he's never done it before. And that's not to catch you out. That's to deepen the relationship. So Holy Spirit, as we just think around these things, these changes, these season changes, the way you want to speak to us, I want us to sing a song in response to that. So Holy Spirit, just speak to us as we sing this song in Jesus' name. So as I say, the wider leaders know, but there are some who are away today on holiday who don't know. So just be wise in how you share. And if you don't feel you can share that well, then direct them to either next week's newsletter or us as elders in sharing this news. Because what we don't want is any confusion to creep in. So in the context of seasons, I just want to finish by talking about another season change, or the opening for another season change, which you might not have heard about. Okay. Now, I bring this up this morning as part of season changes because we all have a part to play within this. There is a passage in the Gospels where Jesus tells us to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give to God what is God's. Good. You're reading the same Bible as me. That's really encouraging. So that's great. The state, the country we're in, is a secular reality whose principal duty, you might be shocked about this, whose principal duty towards religion is to ensure its freedom. Now, I'm not going to make any comment about that statement. Other than Jesus knew that God's reign was immensely more important than any earthly ruler. And we know that because we never see or never read that Jesus appealed to earthly rulers to enforce his kingdom or his moral teachings to the people. He did that. Jesus did that. So is anyone here not aware that there is a referendum coming up? And if you aren't, can you tell me where you've been for the last few weeks? Because we want to join you. No, we don't. We don't. That's not right. No. So when we vote, we're giving to Caesar what is Caesar's? Because as a democracy, Caesar is the people. Most of the time, we elect representatives to Parliament. So, our local one in Rugeley at the moment is Amanda Melling. And for those that have voted for whatever, she has been tasked now with making our lives easier in Parliament. But she's actually being tasked to vote on behalf of her constituency and what she feels is right. The difference when it comes to a referendum is we get to make the legislation. We get to make the law. And only the people can change the law. So actually, that's quite a heavy responsibility we each have. I'm sure many of us perhaps would rather leave that to the MPs and the Lords. But with this forthcoming referendum, we have to weigh carefully and in complete freedom the arguments presented to us both for in and out. And we know how easy that's been so far, don't we? In saying that, some will find it straightforward. Some will know exactly what they're going to vote on June the 23rd. Others, if I'm honest, what? Find it more complicated. Wondering which conclusion to reach. See, the arguments crowd in from both sides. It's like a game of ping pong, isn't it? Someone will say something, the others will say, that's not right. And then they'll say something, they'll say, well, that's not right. Or it's that, and it's this. But you know, that's only a reflection of life today. A lot of life today is very confusing. But what we can't do is offload our responsibility. And neither can we offload our troubled conscience, perhaps, in what we're going to and which way we're going to vote, onto others. Whether it's the church or it's life, the world, the state, we have to make a decision for ourselves. But in making a decision on June the 23rd, and whenever we vote actually, we shouldn't leave our Christian values outside the polling station. So this morning, I want to quickly reflect on some areas as we approach referendum day. Honour. You don't need a prophetic word to say there's quite a bit of cynicism and anger in regards to politicians. We see it everywhere, in the news, on the newspaper, talking to people. But what does the Bible say about those in authority? We're to respect and honour those in authority. Whether that person be Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Mickey Mouse or David Cameron. Some might say they can't define between the four. That's not my place. But actually, we've got to honour people who are in authority. The authorities that have been established by God, and they are there as God's servants, whether they know that or not. Because God created authority and government. Now, if you want a biblical attitude to authority, then I would suggest you read Romans 13, 1 to 6. I haven't got time to do that this morning. But Romans 13, 1 to 6. We should be thankful that we live in a country where there's a functioning government. There are many countries where there is a dysfunctioning government. Thank you. And we should be grateful that we're not in a society that has broken down. Now some might say, well, I look out, Richard, and that society seems. But actually, compared with some other countries, our society is not in that state of complete brokenness. So those in government deserve respect and honour. Yes, there are aspects of their policies that we don't like. And yes, there are aspects of their policies that seem quite daft to us. And actually dangerous. But overall, I believe they do the best that they can. And what we mustn't become as Christians is people who just make petty remarks on the sidelines and do nothing. Because that's a lot of what the world does. Secondly, humility. We need to make sure that our comments on government are coming from a place of humility. It's easy to joke. I've done it this morning. But sometimes Christians can come across as those who have all the answers with a tone for contempt to others. And that's not just a charge that comes at Christians in politics. That's in life. And that's not helpful. And actually, that's not Christ-like. If we were in government, if I was in government, I suspect I would make mistakes. But how do you know that, Richard? Because I make them in life. Mine just don't appear on the television or in front of thousands. But listen, humility doesn't mean we say nothing or that we just frown and cringe. If we are to have a genuine prophetic voice in this nation, we need to speak up. But we need to speak up with an attitude of seeing all people are made in the image of God. Learning to treat those that we disagree with respect and compassion. And I have to keep reminding myself about this. Why do we expect non-Christians to behave like Christians? Because we do sometimes. That's our approach. We think they should know better. Well, they don't know better, some of them. Why should they have a Christian philosophy or a Christian worldview? Some of them don't even know about Jesus. So we can't expect them to act and be like we are. Neither are we to promote one political party over the other, saying one's more Christian than the other. We are not to judge those in the world. And politicians, believe it or not, are in the world. Any judging that we see that is done is actually in the church. And God will judge our response to how we respond to others outside of the church as well as within the church. We have to recognize that in every party there are Christians. And we should be praying for them. And we should be exercising common grace to all those that we may listen to or hear. And the one thing it's certainly not our job to do is to tell people who to vote for or who not to vote for. Hope. Psalm 146 says this. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men, who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. See, we are to honor, we are to respect, we are to show humility to our governmental leaders. And we entrust them to do things. But we do not put all our hope into them. Of any political party. Because we've seen it. We've seen the anti-Christian and perhaps anti-human ideas, as well as some of the inept practices that have gone on, that actually can tempt us to despair. But our hope is not in them. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He has renewed and reformed this country before. And he can do it again. He can do it again. He can do what no politician can do. But I am thankful that there are believers in every party. You know, when we were down at the European Leaders Advance last year in Westminster, they'd asked it to be in Westminster so they could meet with Christians who are at work within government, within the Houses of Parliament. And I think it was one night they met with 600 people who worked within government. And do you know what these guys were saying from the States? They were blown away. They were envious of the amount of born-again Christians who were at work within government, be it MPs or civil servants. And you know, we shouldn't belittle that. See, the trouble is in the media and the press, we see all the things that are negative and wrong. You never hear good news. There was a paper that was brought out, apparently, that just had good news. I think it lasted a day or a week or something, because that doesn't sell newspapers. But actually, there's good stuff going on in our government, in the back rooms, in the civil service. Which leads us to the important aspect. If it comes up, pray. This is our first responsibility. Whether it's the 23rd of June, whether it's an election, whether it's every day, we should be praying for our governmental leaders. This is what 1 Timothy 2 says. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleasing, and pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is what I will say to you in regards to the 23rd of June. Ask Father for His guidance in which way you should vote. Because when you vote, you are voting to change the law. So ask Father how to vote. Pray for this nation for June the 23rd. Pray that His will is done. Continue, as Timothy encourages us, to pray for those in authority. Then finally, vote. Don't be a bystander. Don't frown and cringe. Don't moan after the votes happened that it didn't go the way you wanted to go if you didn't vote. As Christians, we have a voice. And we have a Father that guides our voice. So can I encourage you, each and every one of you, you have a responsibility to vote on June the 23rd. But also, for us, as a second aspect, I think we have a duty to vote, because there are those that laid their lives down that we would have freedom to vote. And actually that came at huge costs. And so let that be another aspect of why it is important to vote. To honour those that have gone before us, who've laid their lives down to enable us to have the freedom to vote. So I've shared two different aspects of seasons, which you could say, well, they're two spectrums, Richard, from Eric and Philippa to the referendum. How did you get that in 40 minutes? But actually, the covering umbrella is those in authority and the importance that we pray. Pray for our governments, pray for our politicians, our MPs, the Lords, but pray for those in authority within Rugeley Community Church. Many of you do, and we are so thankful, but we need your prayers continuously. Because we need to know the season changes. We need to know when God is whispering or talking to us in a different way. We need to see the bigger picture. And this might come as a surprise to you, but the things that you face in life, we as leaders face in life also. We have season changes. We need to know what is right and what is to grow and what is to die. And sometimes neither is wrong, but what is important is that we're doing it in the pace and the rhythm of Father's purposes and plans for us. So, can we just stand? And my challenge first again is, will you give an hour tonight to come and support this couple in praying for their direction and their purpose in their new season? And secondly, I just pray, Father, that your will be done on June the 23rd. Father, I pray that you give us clarity to see through all the information that we're being given, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent. But Lord, I pray that you will lay on our hearts the importance of what it is to vote on the 23rd. That we would have a Christian voice rising up, Father, that you would guide us. So Lord, I pray for each and every heart here that we will have peace for the way that we vote on that day. And that you will speak clearly to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I could just ask you to be seated for a second. Who knows what's happening tonight? Yes, prayer meeting, 7 till 8. And then just to follow on from Andy's notice, the sign-up sheets for the Charter Fair on the table over there. There are ones that have red highlights, are together. There are the areas that we are short of. So can I ask you to look for that? Many have signed up already. And just to say, whatever you've signed up for, the starting point, whether it's leaflet, going out doing leaflets, whatever, will be the main hall. Don't think you have to go around the building trying to find people. We will do that from the main hall. But can I encourage you to please sign up? Can I encourage you to talk to Eric and Philippa? Well, I don't know what to say to them. Well, just be friends with them. You know, they're not going to Mars and they've not got a strange disease that I know of anyway. But, so, just love them, okay? So, thank you. And please stay for tea and coffee. I was thinking of putting the sign-up sheet in front of the tea and coffee so you wouldn't be able to get past that. But it is over to the corner. So thank you. And amen.